Are you a Catholic woman who loves your faith, but finds certain aspects of living it out challenging and confusing? Are you a Catholic wife striving for a healthy, holy marriage and sex life, but don't know where to turn for straightforward, faithful, nitty-gritty answers to some of your deep and delicate questions? Are you a Catholic mom who's tired of the compare and despair game we all fall victim to on social media, and are just in need of some solidarity as you discover your own unique motherhood? Are you tired of the sunshine and rainbows pitch? Want to lean into the both and of the mess that happens when the truths of our faith get lived in a fallen world? Well, if that's where you find yourself, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Emily Frazee, your host of the Total Wine Podcast. I'm here to dig deep and tackle topics that we are all curious about, but maybe too afraid to ask. I'll answer it all with honesty and humor, because living the faithful life can make you either laugh or cry, and well, laughing burns more calories. Welcome to the show. Hello, and welcome back to another episode, juicy episode of the Total Wine Podcast. I'm just going to jump right in because who knows how long I have with my kiddos. And the question that I'm answering today is, can I say no to sex when my spouse initiates? I can't believe that we have to have this conversation, but we do, because I see it come up, and I see it come up in some pretty insidious ways. And so let's kind of get into a little bit of the nuance of this and answer the question. Now, if you don't have any time, you don't really care about the nuance, and you just want a yes or no answer to this question, the answer is yes, you can say no to your spouse. Now let's get into the nuance. Hopefully you have some time for it. So I hear this come up, unfortunately. I know of two specific instances, and if there's two, there's more. Two specific instances where I've heard two different priests say that women cannot refuse their husbands. And it's always women cannot refuse their husbands. There's no talk about husbands refusing wives, you know, as though that never happens. So anyway, that's a discussion for another day. But in these two instances, there was a Facebook comment, public comment that was shared where a woman said that, a priest had told her that it was a sin against justice to refuse her husband with no nuance whatsoever. I also heard of another woman whose husband went to confession, and the priest told him in confession that his wife could not refuse him. And thankfully this woman was married to a good man and he knew that that was bunk. But anyway, so there are Catholic priests who are saying that women cannot refuse their husband's sex. That's on the Catholic side. Now, on the secular side, and even in some other Christian circles, we certainly take two things for granted. This is just kind of in the air we breathe. And this is the context within which the whole, you know, you cannot refuse your spouse lands. And that is that men need sex. And further, they need it every 3 days. So as a result, many are under the impression that it is harmful or even sinful. Some people, you know, obviously elevate it to that level to tell a husband no if he initiates sex. Again, nobody talks about what happens when a husband refuses a wife because they just presume that all men are insatiable sex fiends and no man would ever. Every woman listening to this is like, explain that to my husband. Anyway, so to put it just bluntly, this is absolutely false and it's extremely harmful. Extremely harmful. It does so much damage to a couple's sex life. Fundamentally, both spouses should have the right to refuse one another at any time for any reason. I'm going to say that again just to freak everybody out. Make sure I freaked everybody out well. Both spouses should have the right to refuse sex at any time for any reason. Now, this does not mean that spouses should refuse one another for any reason. Right? That retaining this freedom is what is important, but it doesn't mean that you abuse that freedom, right? So I would hope that the context that these priests are thinking of is that, you know, the wife is being manipulative of the husband, which, by the way, I don't know of any wife personally who is like, I just really want to hurt my husband, so I'm refusing sex. That is a huge problem in the marriage. That's not a sexual problem. That's a marriage problem. And the solution is not to have sex. The solution is to dig underneath what is going on there. Why is the wife being manipulative of the husband. That's not a sexual issue. That's a marriage issue. That's a relational one. Okay. But if either spouse does not have the right to say no, the reason why that's so important is because if they don't have the right to say no, their yes means absolutely nothing. Now, according to the Catholic understanding of sex, sex is supposed to be unitive and procreative, right? Those two elements are dually primary. Further than that, sex should be four things: total, free, faithful, and fruitful. Now, you can look at those things and that kind of, that falls under the umbrella of unitive and procreative, right? The total means that I'm holding nothing back, including my fertility. It means that I'm holding nothing back, including the fact that I don't want to have sex. I'm not lying to my spouse. Free means I am doing so willingly. You know, freedom of choice, the freedom to choose, is so important within marriage that if you do not, if you say your vows under any kind of duress, or if you are unable to give full consent, the marriage is invalid. I've had priests tell me that they have had couples who one of the spouses showed up to the wedding drunk, and they had to call off the wedding because you cannot freely consent when you are impaired by alcohol. So this is how important that freedom is. If you cannot give a full free yes, that's not the full Catholic understanding of sex. And faithful means that it is just the two of you. There's nobody else there in any way, mentally, emotionally, physically, right? And then fruitful. Fruitful obviously has a biological element, but there is a spiritual element to there as well. Right? Sex is not just a fusion of bodies. It's a fusion of souls. So total, free, faithful, and fruitful. These are the elements of holy sex. So if I cannot say no, my yes means nothing. The totality of the gift is obstructed. The freedom of the gift is obstructed. If my yes means nothing, I'm not giving myself freely, but under duress. And so in this scenario, love is absolutely impossible, and the marriage vows are broken. Now, further than that, this doesn't just do damage to the marriage, it does physical damage to the woman's body. This has been documented by an evangelical woman, Sheila Gregoire. She's done research on the obligation sex message within evangelical context, but the same can be applied. Anytime you tell a wife that she cannot refuse her husband, the woman's body and brain logs that as trauma. She is powerless. She is powerless, and then she's abandoned. You know, she has no autonomy. She has no freedom to say yes. She must say no, so she's being used. It makes sense for this to be logged as trauma, and what happens is this is directly related to low libido in women. Even more than that, if this is something that continues and is repeated, it can actually result in physical trauma. Women who believe the obligation sex message have an incredibly high rate of vaginismus. If sex is an area where a person is used instead of cherished, their body and their brain will shut down sexual desire to protect them from that abuse. So husbands and wives are called to love one another as God loves them. And God's love is summarized in two words: free will. God longs for our yes. And God longs for us to cling to Him with our whole life, our whole mind, heart, soul, and strength. And to gain that love, He's willing to risk our rejection. He allows us the freedom to say no in order for our yes to mean something, in order for us to be able to choose to love Him. That is the condition of love, is the choice. if I cannot choose to love this person, if I do not have the freedom to say no, that's not love. So to gain one another's love, both spouses have to respect the freedom and autonomy of one another to refuse sex at any time for any reason. Now, what ends up happening is that when you have that freedom, that actually does not lead to less sex and more refusal, but just the opposite. That because I know that my spouse respects my freedom so much that he is willing to face my rejection, I am far less inclined out of love for him to actually reject him. And of course, like in this context, I think we're only thinking about the manipulative, spiteful wife. Who are these women? I don't know these women. Do they? I know they exist, but like, are they really like a serious problem? Not in my experience. Like most of the women that I know are good, holy women who want to love their husbands well. They're not the problem. This message is being given to women who are not manipulative, who are not spiteful, but who are being erased because they don't know that they have the freedom to say no. One of the examples that I've used in other podcasts is like, you know, what if the wife is exhausted, right? This is the example that I think is used most often. What if the wife is exhausted? Like, you can't say no to sex? Well, that produces all these babies. Well, all these babies make the wife exhausted and then she's still expected to have all of this sex. Well, something's got to give, right? One of these things leads to the other. Cause and effect, okay? Let's take responsibility for our actions here. If a wife is exhausted, this has happened with me. Sometimes my husband is like, hey, like, sex would be great right now. And I'm like, I agree, sex would be marvelous, but you're going to be having sex with a sleeping person. So can we get a good night's sleep and try again in the morning? That has happened so many times. And that freedom to say no, there's such, I can feel so much relief that there was actually a comedian, Taylor Tomlinson, she talked about this in a secular context. She was like, whenever you're dating a guy and, you know, obviously, like I said, secular context, you're dating a guy and, you know, he respects your boundaries because you don't want to have sex on a first date. And the way that she set it up and the punchline was so fantastic. She was like, yeah, there's nothing hotter than when a guy respects your boundaries. And when he's like, yeah, honey, you know, we don't have to have sex right now. And then she goes, well, now we do. That's, to put it bluntly, that's basically how it works. That when you see your spouse as a person and you respect the fact that they have needs, the sleep is a need. That sex is not a need. We don't need sex. Like if we look at if we look at what needs are, we need air, we need food, we need water, we need sleep. If we don't get these things, we will die. Okay, so those are needs. If we don't have sex, we're not gonna die. No coroner ever put that on a death certificate. They're like, oh, he didn't ejaculate, so he keeled over. Never happened. Never happened. So sex is not a need. Now, love is a need. In fact, those who are not loved die a very slow and very painful death. We can see that a lot. You know, when you learn about how the brain works, when you learn about trauma, when you learn about abuse, this lack of love does kill people slowly over a long period of time, but it does kill people. So we do need love. And within a healthy, loving marriage, sex is obviously a part of that. But not having sex never killed anybody. The other thing that I mentioned at the beginning that I did not explain is, you know, that idea that men need sex every 3 days. What that's based on is that men will experience a surge of testosterone roughly every 3 days. I think it's every 72 hours, which is every 3 days. That doesn't mean they need a release. That doesn't mean, because if that's true, then he's a slave to his biology. He's a slave to his hormones. But that's not Christian. You know, we're not slaves to our biology, right? We are not prisoners of the flesh. We belong to the spirit, right? Like, I feel like we've been reading nothing but that in the Sunday readings lately. Paul's talking about how, you know, we belong to the spirit, not to the flesh. But suddenly the rules get reversed because we're talking about male hormones. This makes no sense. It's not consistent. So yes, men experience a surge in testosterone roughly every 3 days. I heard a Protestant pastor talk about this one time. He was like, yeah, dudes, that's a reminder to you. Oh, be nice to the girl. Be nice to the girl. Be nice to my wife. Don't just reach for it and be like, come on, let me, you know, just jerk off. Use you to jerk off, because that's basically what that is. I use crude terminology when I talk about crude things. A man experiencing a surge in testosterone and expecting his wife to provide him a release is nothing but using her as a tool of masturbation. She's a sperm receptacle. That's it. They make sex toys for that. You don't need her. But sex is about a person. Sex is about a union of persons. It's not about physical release alone. Certainly that's an element of it, but it's about union and procreation. And when I say procreation, I'm not just talking about the biological sense. I'm talking about procreating new life within one another. And if you see sex as an opportunity to use your spouse as a means of release, as a means of pleasure, you are not procreating new life within one another. You are not upholding the integrity of the sexual act. You are causing destruction. Granted, probably a very slow erosion, but an erosion nonetheless, and one that is very hard to repair. So can you say no to your spouse for sex? Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to retain that right, both of you, at all times. At the same time, you shouldn't be rejecting your spouse out of spite, out of anger. But if you are angry at one another, seek to resolve that anger. What's going on here? What's the deeper issue? And then have great makeup sex, you know? I mean, come on. Why have sex where you're withholding from one another when you can talk through these issues and then really enjoy it? Hello? It's not just about release. It's not a right that your husband has. Your husband does not have greater sexual needs than you. These are all lies. These are all lies. You both need to be loved by one another, and you both give and receive love in different ways. And it's important to find that ebb and flow within your marriage. And to respect the fact that, like, sure, a man's libido may be higher than a woman's. He may prioritize sex more than a woman does. Stereotypically, that's how it works. Women, some of you ladies, I know it's reversed. But that emotional piece is equally as important as the sexual one. They're not on a hierarchy, they're equal. And so what's important is finding, okay, we have these emotional needs, and I use these words needs of like loosely, desires. We have these emotional desires. I desire to be connected. I desire to have sex. We're pursuing these in different ways according to the way that God designed male and female. This is what's meant by being complementary, is that we need both. The sexual union, the emotional union, are both very important. And it's important within a marriage that you work at both of those. You learn your spouse, you learn the person. What are their emotional needs? How can I fill their emotional tank? Okay, I know that my spouse is going to be so much more interested in sex if she's had a nap and some time without the kids peeling her brain. Ooh, okay, how can we work towards that? I know my spouse feels more emotionally connected with me when we have sex, but I need certain things to happen before we can get there. How can we work on this together? It's not about saying one person's needs are more important than the other. It's about recognizing that, no, in a marriage, we are equals, but we are different. And how do we meet one another in our differences? And it's difficult, but how do we do that out of love? And if you want the real definition of love and what I think is the real definition of God, go look at 1 Corinthians 13, and I am typing it into my computer right now because I can never remember. I get to a certain point and then I can never remember. But love is patient. Love is kind. Give me a minute. It is not jealous. Love is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, ladies, that's not just for you. That's for your husband, too. Both of you doing this simultaneously. It's not about one person picking this up and the other person following suit because you laid your life down. No, 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 no. Both of you together. That's what love is. That's in 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. Go look at that definition and bring that into your marriage. Bring that into your bedrooms. Love each other that way. Bear with one another when things get hard. Both of you simultaneously. And see what happens. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I hope it brightened your day and that you laughed as much as you learned. If you're enjoying the show and want more people to learn about what I share here, please leave a review and even share with a friend. I hope you'll join me again soon. Until then.